The title is Who is Padmasambhava? Is he real? What is his gift to the world? Who are you? Are you real? What is your gift to the world? And I'll say a bit about that title a bit later on. And I realised this morning during Dharmashalin's talk that I'm going to cover a fair bit of the same ground that he covered. But hey, that's right. So, who is Padmasambhava? Well, he was a monk in Nalanda in 8th century India, and he was invited by a monk via the king to help overcome the forces of the Tibetan psyche and the Tibetan culture in Tibet. Tibet was a very barbaric, animist, is that the right word? Pagan society. Warring tribes, lots of family feuds, dishonest politicians, selfish business people. Sounds slightly familiar, does it not? So this monk was trying to establish the way of truth and kindness in Tibet, and he was failing every turn, one step forward and two steps back. He was trying to get people to sit still. He was trying to get people to be loving. He was trying to get people to give, to work, to give time and money to a purely spiritual cause. And unsurprisingly, there was resistance. We've all experienced that ourselves, haven't we? You try to sit still and you think, okay, I'll do the mindfulness of breathing. It's very simple, isn't it? It's a very simple instruction. I'll sit down and pay attention to my breath. And what happens? Anything but. You think, okay, I will give. Not just from your surplus, but give something that means something to you. Yeah? Give something valuable. Give something of your heart. Give something selflessly, which means give it to strangers or to people that you don't like. Yeah? Not just from your surplus and not to people that you like. That's generosity. That's giving. We've all tried that and we all find it difficult. Maybe we haven't tried it, or maybe we haven't tried it as much as we might. So this monk was trying to get people to do this. He was engaging with the people of Tibet and it wasn't working. So he invited Padmasambhava to come and engage with these people. And Padmasambhava is the Padma Guru. It's not one of the ways he's often talked about. And the guru is a universal principle. The guru is the gadfly. The guru is a catalyst. The guru is the cat amongst the pigeons. And so Padmasambhava turned up in Tibet. And you could say for us, spiritual values turn up in our lives, don't they? Haven't they? We turn up at a Buddhist centre, or we meet a Buddhist, or we meet some crazy thing on the YouTube, and suddenly there's a new force in our being. Yeah? And that can take the lid off. It can take the lid off a box of bliss, or it can take the lid off a can of worms, or more likely, both. Yeah? Sometimes a little spiritual practice can reveal a horrible, nasty, snivelling little ego. And sometimes it can unleash a huge, heroic force for good. And often both. So a little spiritual practice can make you reassess your whole life. So Padmasambhava went to Tibet and he met the people. He met them in their homes and in their celebrations. He met them in their cremation grounds and in their sorrow. He met them in the markets and in their business dealings. He met the king in his palace. And he ended up setting the king's clothes on fire while the king was wearing them, which I quite like that story. It's one of the most wonderful stories in the life and liberation of Padmasambhava when Padmasambhava met King Trisongdetsen. It's a real meeting of lions. And of course, Padmasambhava won. So unlike St. George, who went to Ireland and destroyed the dragons and banished the snakes. The people of Ireland still believe there are no snakes in Ireland, which is true. And they believe there are no snakes in Ireland because St. George banished them. In order for Christianity to take root in Ireland, you have to purify and get rid of the evil forces. Padmasambhava said, no way. You don't get rid of, you transform. You pin them down. So he met the people, he met the forces of Tibet, and he understood them. He learnt to dance with them. Or rather, he taught them to dance with him. That's more like what seemed to happen. So who was Padmasambhava? You could say he was an 8th century monk who went to Tibet to help take the Dharma to Tibet. But he was more than that. And as Dharmashala did this morning, we can look at the symbolism of what he looks like, how he's depicted. He wears the yellow robe of the monk. So this is ethics. This is simplicity. He wears the red robe of the Bodhisattva. And this is love, love in action. This is responding to all. It's responding to beings. It's asking, what do people really need? That's what the Bodhisattva asks. And he wears the blue robe of the yogin, of the mountain meditator, of the iconoclast. And the yogin symbolises total commitment to the mystery of the void, total commitment to the path. Padmasambhava also wears the jewels of the king. So the king is the most powerful worldly person. He's the leader. He's the boss. He's the lawgiver. And Padmasambhava wears his jewellery. He also wears or carries the staff of the magician. So the magician is the wild card. The magician is the creator and the destroyer. He's also the entertainer. He's also the jester. He's also the one who pulls the rug from under our feet. Padmasambhava holds the Vajra. And the Vajra is infinite power. The Vajra is the lightning bolt in the night. The Vajra is the power of truth that conquers all enemies. So Padmasambhava is the warrior of unstoppable resolve. He also has a consort, Yeshe Tsogyal, who's the sky dancer. She's the beautiful, the passionate, the feminine. So Padmasambhava is all these things. He integrates all these things. There's perfect integration in Padmasambhava, in this figure of Padmasambhava. There's the masculine and the feminine. There's the compassionate worker and the meditator. There's wisdom, there's compassion. There's the warrior and the king and the lover and the meditator. And he integrates these opposites. They don't balance out. Yeah, I hope you notice this in your life, in your spiritual life. When you have tension between different bits of your psyche, they're never going to balance. There's always going to be tension. Yeah, and the art of the spiritual life is to learn to dance that tension, to live that tension. Yeah, let that tension be healthy. That tension is where the energy comes from, where the life comes from. So if you can hold all that, if you can hold those tensions, then you're fearless. Because you're not hiding anything. You're not trying to dampen down bits of yourself by adding on other bits of yourself. You're allowing them both to flourish. And you're allowing them both to flourish in the light of the Dharma or under the reign of the Dharma. So by integrating opposites, by letting opposites be in relationship to each other, you become fearless in all situations. And out of this, Padmasambhava, he holds all these tensions and all these opposites. And what happens? He's a being. He's just there. He's one person. Two arms, two legs, a head. But he's a being of total energy and total dedication. Yeah. Most famously, he's thought of as being fierce. He has that wrathful smile, but also as being kind and being unshakable, and of being the iconoclast. He wasn't bound by religious norms, which, as you all know, is, well, that's what we're aiming for, isn't it? Breaking the first three fetters is our first goal, possibly after ordination, possibly not. And one of those three fetters is letting go of religious rules. Yeah? So the religious rules that we follow, the purpose is to be able to grow beyond them, to learn to find metta behind any rules, to find freedom behind any rules. So that's a glimpse of who Padmasambhava is. But is he real? Well, as Dhammachalam was saying this morning, it's impossible to determine fact from myth. It's impossible to separate fact and myth, history from religious invention. Religious people are wonderful at making up nonsense, yeah? Making up stories that hopefully reveal a useful truth. It's impossible to separate true characteristics from symbolic meanings, to put it more positively. He lived, if he lived at all, 1,200 years ago. So, is he real? He was a monk of total one-pointedness. He was the lover of the world. He was the warrior conquering all. He was the king ruling with perfect kindness. He was the magician. He was the guru who questions everything. He was born from a lotus. Water becomes fire. Fire becomes water. And when the impoverished voices of our minds fail, when the self-view dissolves, he is found perfect and complete, floating in the sky of your mind, floating in the lake of your heart. He's a thorn in your side. He never lets you settle down. He's a constant reminder that freedom and bliss is very, very close. So is he real? He's pure resolve, he's pure dedication, he's the sky dancer. He cannot be pinned down and he cannot be known. And his gift to the world is himself. So who are you? That's my first three questions out of the way. Who are you? Well, you are body, speech and mind. You are body, thoughts, emotions. A lot of ways of answering the question, who are you? You are your experience. Yeah? You are this experience, sat here right now, in this environment. You are part of your surroundings, people, family, work, play. Yeah? You are part of your life. You cannot be separated from your surroundings. I think that's one of the most useful ways of talking about the whole no-self question. You're part of your surroundings. This is you. Your experience is you. And your experience is what is other than you. Which makes nonsense of the distinction between self and other. Let alone of non-self and non-other. So who are you? You are part of your surroundings. In a sense, that's all you can say. You're interacting with your surroundings. You're dancing with your surroundings. You are what you are experiencing. Most importantly, you are what you do. You are your resolve. So are you real? Well, this set of questions, who is Padmasambhava, is he real, what is his gift to the world? Who are you real, what is your gift to the world? This set of questions, it came from discussions I've had over many, many years. Order members do meditation practice, or most order members do meditation practice called sadhana, where we visualise a yidam, we visualise a Buddha or Bodhisattva, and we create a Buddha. We create a Buddha in our minds, often over our heads, floating in the sky. And people often say, yeah, but is it real? Aren't you just making up something? aren't you just making up a fantasy? Well, is it real? Often I sit in meditation and my experience of myself is chaos. Yeah? I'm sure some of you can probably recognise that in your own meditation. You sit there to do the mindfulness of breathing. I'd say it took me 3 years before I managed to capture three in the mindfulness of breathing. Yeah? Chaos. My inner mind is chaos. It's perpetual change. There's a flow of sensations, dreams, thoughts, moods. And Padmasambhava, or the yidam, that I visualise over my head, is solid. It's like a rock. He's pouring down confidence. Total presence. Total dedication. Total one-pointedness. I'm sat here like a box of frogs. And there's this thing over my head, which, yes, I have created, whatever that means, which is solid. Sometimes being with Sangharakshita was like that. I spent quite a few years with him when he was unwell. And there was something about him, even when he was very unwell and very ill, he was just solid. He was just present. He'd just sit there and he'd do one thing at a time. So the yidam, or Padmasambhava, is solid. He sits in the sky above your head. He pours down confidence. He's solid because he's not fighting. He accepts change. He accepts that all things change. He's unruffled because he has no support. He can't be knocked over because there's nothing holding him up. So no, of course the yidam is not real. But it's much more real than I am. So, what is your gift to the world? That's my last question. So, our gift to ourselves is to stop looking for and expecting something solid. That's the best thing we can give to ourselves. Stop expecting life to be solid. Yeah. One of my theories these days is that one of the natures of samsara is to believe that the grass is always greener somewhere else. So one of the greatest gifts we can give to ourselves is by letting go of that idea that the grass is greener somewhere else. If only I'd made that different decision those years ago. Yeah. If only this, if only that, if only whatever it was, the grass isn't greener. Unless you're greener. So if your gift to yourself is to let go of looking for certainty, what is your gift to the world? What is our gift to the world? Well, we human beings, we're wonderful, aren't we? We're totally wonderful. We're able to respond to a changing world. Our nature, that's our nature, is to adapt to a changing world. Yeah. And as humans, we can relate to a solid set of spiritual values. So we can relate to the solidity of Padmasambhava, and we can also relate to the changing situation at work and the changing situation in our home and the changing situation in our hearts. And we can let those two be in relationship to each other, to inform each other. So we do have one foot in the real world. I do think that. We human beings, we do have one foot in the real world. We also have one foot in this world, this crazy, chaotic world of people and busyness. And our gift is to know what is important and to bring that into this dance with life. and with the world. So that's that.